Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday, the 10th of August. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Glad to have you with me. Also with me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Now, Jeff, I'd like to start with you. And you wrote up a piece for us a little bit ago about Apple Music, but on Android.
Yeah.
I hope y'all were ready for that plot twist first thing Monday.
Right. Just to be different, because at the time I was stuck with an Android phone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started out with Google Music. Then I found out that was going away. I tried YouTube Music. That was okay. And then I remembered that Apple Music was available on Android, so I gave it a test drive. And since then, I've compared it with the latest version of Apple Music on iOS, and you know, they're pretty close to the same.
Okay.
The interface is almost exactly the same. You've got a few Android idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
One annoying thing was that, you know, on Android, when you clear your notifications, it does the fun thing of also stopping your music from playing.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not just Apple Music that does that. I didn't realize it at the time, but in further testing, I found out that it did that with YouTube Music as well. If I tapped on clear all for my notifications, it got rid of everything, including the mini player in the notification area, which also stopped the music from playing. So, you know, there's Don McLean every time you clear all notifications.
Okay.
Bye, bye, Miss American. Bye.
Thank you.
I don't want to have to write a check to Don McLean. Plus I miss karaoke. So
less than 10 seconds, we don't have to worry.
Okay. Good. So what I was wondering was, in general, as an experience, you said it was similar. And, like, here's the thing. One thing that I really like about Apple Music, and people who are longtime listeners of the show, first of all, thank you. Second of all, you might remember I was really not interested. And the magic that I find from Apple Music is the curated playlists. Mm-hmm. So, like 80s pop radio, which is like a generated station I know, but I listen to that one pretty often. And I listen to the Friends mix and the Favorites mix. And those are always really great. And mm-hmm. with a little bit of adjustment, the new music mix is usually pretty awesome when I go check it out. So that's one thing I like about Apple Music is the human curation. Now, I know you've tried a couple of other services. How does the curation stack up, in your opinion?
Much better, I think. Apple does a fantastic job of figuring out what I like and what I don't like, especially if I use the love thumbs down buttons as I'm listening to music. It gets smarter and smarter in ways that I've never seen, with the exception of Spotify. I've never seen a service get as intelligent about finding new music for me to listen to as mm-hmm. Apple Music does.
I think for me, it's the speed with which those adjustments pay off.
I'd be listening to Fireflight, and YouTube would say, "Oh, hey, here's some Eminem for you." No.
Yeah, not quite. What I have used, and Mr. Kelly uses Pandora regularly, and I dabbled in Pandora and basically got mad at it. Because like when I would make the suggestions, the thumb up and the thumb down to try and tune mm-hmm. a station, it didn't seem like it ever helped. Or it seemed like it chose the one aspect of the music that was playing that I liked and went, "We will never suggest anything like that again." or it will take one of the things I don't want about it, and it will go, you know, and I'll thumb up like a thing that's like, this is instrumental and also, you know, interesting in this particular way. And the important piece is that it's instrumental. So it'll be like, oh, you want this kind of music that always has vocals in it. Awesome. I'm like, no. So like I was never able to get Pandora to do anything the way I wanted it to. And I like contacted their support and went, look, like I did this and I don't know why this was the outcome. Can I go like back up to that point and like take away those things I said and start again? And they were like, yes, here's how you create a new station. And I'm like, oh no, that's not the right answer. So being able, like, here's the one hitch I had with Apple Music. Mm-hmm. Is that during the day I listen to a lot of film scores, and I love film scores, and because it's music I love and listen to all the time. And so, you know, like my the bulk of my movie going life basically is John Williams radio, the John Williams channel on Apple Music.
Okay.
So it's music I know and enjoy and yet cannot sing along to because there's no vocals. So that's what I need when I'm working during the day. I can't listen to music with vocals while I work. So I listen to film scores all the time. So the new music channel was giving me loads of instrumental music. And I'm like, no, that's not what I want when I'm listening to music. You're not like, that's work hours. Like, learn that that's work hours. So the minute it gives me anything with vocals, I'm all like. And then when it gives me more like tranquil piano next to a pond or whatever the crap it was last weekend, I was like, no, suggest less like this. And it totally helped. Like a couple devoted weeks of doing that has gotten the new music mix back where it needs to be. So that's been super helpful. That's the only time I had a problem with it. And I'm like, but I understand the problem that I'm having because the bulk of what it thinks I'm listening to all the time is instrumental music. So I could see it.
You're confusing it.
Yeah. And I'm like, don't play, like, don't count the film score channel and just use all the other stuff to configure. So that's the part of it that I thought was interesting. But I'm glad to know that on Android, it's still a really good experience. That was the thing I was sort of wondering about was, like in day-to-day use, what the Android piece of it was going to be.
Yeah, and you know, Apple, once they have the interface built to match what iOS has, then, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff is all done on Apple servers. So it doesn't matter if you're on an Android or an iPhone or God forbid, a Windows phone, if those are still around. I think there's some of them out there still. It doesn't matter. It just works. And Apple went to the trouble of recreating the iPhone Apple Music interface in Android language, and it works swimmingly.
That's really good to hear. And
what,
like I said,
to Google Music, Jeff.
Google Music is being phased out in favor of YouTube Music.
Oh.
In its infinite wisdom, Alphabet has decided that they're going to brand all of its entertainment options under YouTube and not have it standalone. They haven't done that with movies yet, though, but I think that's coming.
And, it'll be and next. You can already,
yeah, because you can already buy movies on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's cool. Now I'm just waiting for Apple TV to come to Android so I can
test
that out.
That's going to be interesting, I think.
If it ever happens. I'm hoping it does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great audience for Apple to capitalize on. I think
Definitely.
one of the smartest moves Apple did when they launched Apple Music was reaching out to the Android user base as soon as they did and get that up and running.
Yeah, that is. And the reason that's interesting is because we've seen them be relatively cool about making the service available on other streaming devices. So, mm-hmm. John, you wrote about that, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. That Apple that Apple made deals so that you could get TV Plus on the Fire TV hardware and the Roku hardware and I think some smart TVs. So the TV Plus was one of the options available to you and you weren't having the fight that like HBO Max is having right now with Amazon or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was, I want to say you wrote about that because we talked about it on the show.
Oh, yeah. Then, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was, I think, so I it makes sense that the TV Plus would come to Android devices, I think, particularly since I know there are a lot of tablets out there at a lot of different sizes that make good viewing options, you know, for Android. So that might be interesting. So if we find out more about that, we will absolutely let you know. Right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is Raycon. Raycon makes earbuds. And you probably know about them because I've told you about them on the show before. They start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbud. So their Everyday E25 is the ones that I've been wearing. And they have 6 hours of playtime. They're Bluetooth headphones. They're, again, true wireless, so there's no wire around the back of your neck. They've got a bass-heavy profile, and they're super compact. So for me, I know everybody's ears are different, but for me, they are super-duper comfortable. In fact, I just wore them all of this last weekend doing a whole bunch of big yard projects. I just would stick them in my ears and go, and it was really comfortable. The charge time on them isn't very long. So, you know, taking a break to eat a sandwich or whatever was enough juice to keep them going through the afternoon. They were really great. No wires. It was easy to take phone calls. A couple times people called me while I was out doing my yard work projects and was able to talk to them. No problem. A lot of times with earbuds, you know, somebody will say like, are you on speakerphone or something? You know, or are you in the car? Because it sounds weird in some way and like nobody commented on it when I was using these. So they are super duper great. And like I said, not only are they budget friendly priced, about half the price of most of their earbuds, but because you are my listener, and thank you again for that, by the way, you can get 15% off your own pair of Raycon wireless earbuds. And you can get those at buyraycon.com/TDO. That's buyraycon.com/TDO. And you'll get 15% off your own pair of Raycon wireless earbuds. And I'd like to thank Raycon for sponsoring the show today. Now, John, you wrote an interesting piece. You included an interesting piece in Particle Debris on Friday about ARM devices and the trackpad.
Yeah, there was some discussion at Tom's Guide and at Patently Apple about Apple's patents for a trackpad that extends the entire width of the MacBook Pro display. And is a touch sensitive illuminated area with all sorts of opportunities. It could be embedded LEDs to indicate what area is touch sensitive at any given time and could be dynamic. Mm-hmm. And there's also a minor discussion of the possibility that the part of the embedded area of a fully illuminated LED trackpad could be like an iPhone display, so that instead of having get Gorilla Arm reaching out and having a, you know, a touch screen MacBook Pro, which nobody really wants, I don't think.
I don't want one, so I'm going to say yes, nobody wants one.
You've got a comfortable area in the trackpad area where you can manipulate, touch, mm-hmm. activate. And with the advent of ARM-based Macs, you've got iOS apps that can be native that would run on these ARM Macs. And they would be in a window on your display, and you would manipulate them with a touch-sensitive area in the trackpad region. And this is very intriguing because it takes it from a slab of aluminum that's touch-sensitive mm-hmm. to an active, you know, configurable, dynamic, visual, touch-sensitive lit area that can be done. It's sort of like the touch, sort of like a touch bar on steroids.
Okay, that's actually what I was going to ask you. So you mean like a super duper touch bar?
Yeah, a big one.
Okay,
maybe the entire width of the display.
So here would be, this is the X factor, I think, in this, is that, like, we've seen people with the touch bar. Some people really like it, and some people, like, the apps they use haven't really adopted it or anything. So, like, it's not as interesting for a lot of folks. So do you think that what's really going to make this trackpad situation awesome is developer uptake? Because it feels like, to me, that's been the problem with the touch bar all along, is that if people, like, if you're a developer and you haven't bought a machine recently, then you don't have a touch bar. I don't have a touch bar right now. And if you don't have a touch bar, you're not going to develop a bunch of awesome stuff that you can do on the touch bar, because how do you test it? Because you don't have one. So
that's a very good question. My first blush reaction to it is the touch bar has to be integrated into the app, and that requires some developer effort.
Sure.
And not every app, not every Macintosh has a touch bar.
Right.
And so maybe Apple got smart about the idea and said, look, we'll take over the user interface part. Mm-hmm. We'll surface the user interface to the user. You just get your app running under iOS, and it'll appear on the MacBook Pro's display, mm-hmm. and everything will be fine, and the user will operate and manipulate it from the trackpad. And you won't have to lift a finger, developer.
That would be awesome.
Could be.
Yeah, well, I think that's from my experience developing apps. Yeah, that's exactly how it would work. I mean, it would be within the operating system's hooks that anytime you had an iPhone or an iPad app, it would automatically enable that touch sensitive area on the trackpad without any requirement for the developer to do anything.
Yeah.
The other thing that Tom's guide points out is this is a nice accessibility feature. So users who have trouble holding their arms out in space, but would rather rest maybe they're in a wheelchair and they'd rather rest their hands on the trackpad. Mm-hmm. They could more easily manipulate their MacBook Pro and their iOS apps.
Well, that was sort of the reasoning we were given behind adding trackpad support to iPadOS in the first place, was that it was going to be this massive accessibility feature. So that does sound interesting. And John, the situation you described where, you know, Apple says we'll take care of that piece if you just make sure that the app will work properly, that seems like a really feasible thing, because that does seem like there's no downside for anybody. So
I should clarify, that wasn't explicitly in Tom's guide article. It was just my response to your question.
Yeah.
But it seemed to make sense to me.
But, like, it doesn't seem like there's a downside to it. You know, Apple gets to score points for being developer friendly. Apple gets to score points for accessibility and for meeting developers partway, so that developers don't have to do loads and loads of additional work in order to make things happen like they should, or like Apple wants them to, and to take advantage of this new feature. So it does seem like something that it would be well within Apple's purview to do, and, you know, could only look good for them. So, you know, as long as there's no downside, then hey, all right.
Another thing it does is it differentiates ARM-based Macs from Intel-based Macs.
Yes.
I think there's going to be a new design language and some new look in the cases. And, you know, and the ARM-based iMac will probably lose the chin. Mm-hmm. And the ARM-based MacBooks and MacBook Pros will probably have an illuminated trackpad. And so you'll be able to look at the machine right away and say, oh, that's an ARM Mac.
Yeah.
If ARM is the term Apple ends up using to replace Apple Silicon.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just using that as a placeholder now.
Yeah. Well, they called it Apple Silicon a bunch of times in the documentation that and stuff that we got about it. So I presume that's what it's going to be called, since they said it a lot. Yeah. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people referring to it in print, air quote print anyway, as AS chips. So just as shorthand for Apple Silicon.
Is that like the BS Big Sur?
Yes, AS and BS go together.
Right, there you go, Kelly.
See, it's a match set. So It makes total sense. Maybe their marketing team wasn't as goofed up as we had been led to believe. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank both of you for being here today. Jeff, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And we appreciate you braving the Android ecosystem on our behalf. I'm kidding. Yeah, we're not, you know, we're not judging you, I promise.
No, well, no, it's not nearly as painful as it used to be.
Oh, no, I just mean, like, in general, like, I'm not judging people who have Android devices, so it's okay. John Martellaro, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.